Hello, and welcome to this Security Response podcast brought to you by Symantec, the world leader in providing solutions to help individuals, small businesses, and enterprises ensure the security, availability, and integrity of their information. This podcast will present a roundup of the Symantec Security Response weblogs posted in January 2007. Blogs posted by Symantec Security Response this month include a number of interesting topics. A new Trojan named PCOM inspired numerous blogs as Symantec's security response engineers tracked the evolution of this threat. Elia Florio's blog directs users to a video in order to better illustrate targeted attacks involving recent Microsoft Word zero-day vulnerabilities. Greg Ahmad writes a two-part blog about the sudden rise in ActiveX vulnerabilities. And finally, Han Lau discusses a significant problem relating to Adobe Acrobat files in his blog entitled, When PDFs Attack. On Friday, January 19th, a new Trojan named PCOM was discovered in the wild. Within a few days, PCOM was classified as a risk level 3 and became the subject of many blogs this month. Amato Hidalgo was the first to explain how the threat arrives in an email with an empty body and a variety of subject lines and attachments. The attachment is not a video clip, but a Trojan horse program. A couple of days after PCOM was discovered, Hidalgo notes that the threat has evolved and that attachments have new file names, some dropped files have changed, and that the subject lines of the spam email are also changing. A week after tracking PCOM, Eric Chen provides an excellent high-level summary of how PCOM spreads and some of the interesting aspects of PCOM, including how it uses peer-to-peer communication with the ultimate goal of sending out spam. Chen points out that Trojan.pcom, which has been dubbed the storm worm after the unprecedented storms that battered Europe, deserves this name because PCOM itself is the perfect storm. PCOM is a combination of an open-source email worm, a file-infecting virus, a polymorphic packer, a spam relay, a rootkit, and a botnet that operates over a peer-to-peer network. Chen says that the history of malicious code, we've never seen such a malicious threat that contains a handful of these characteristics, let alone all of them, thus the perfect storm. On January 23rd, with Trojan PCOM still very much on the prowl and repeatedly blasting spam in short bursts of 5 to 10 minutes, the Symantec Security Response team posted a blog showing a spam-centric view of the Trojan. This blog outlines the top 10 malware caught by Symantec Brightmail anti-spam from December 22nd through to January 22nd. Trojan.pcom tops the list with 27.8%. W32.mixer.q comes in second with 18.9%, followed by Trojan.pact.8 with 6.1%. Symantec Security Response points out that PCOM has already exceeded the mass mailing worm W32.mixer.q despite getting a much later start in the period. In addition, the actual number of PCOM spam is even higher because the majority of messages detected as Trojan.pact.8 are a result of PCOM spam as well. The PCOM spam continues to change form and is now sending out image-based spam that advertises penny stocks. There are also new spam samples with romantic subjects, but these are easily being caught by Symantec Brightmail anti-spam traps. 2 days later, Dave Cole reported that PCOM activity is lighter than in previous days and that the security response team in Pune, India, has delivered a flash video that visually describes this complex threat. Cole advised users to stay up to date on the outbreak alert for the Storm Trojan by visiting the Threat Advisory Center at www.symantec.com/outbreak/storm_trojan.html. Elia Florio's blog also links to a video as a tool for communicating with users about threats. Florio writes in his blog in response to the many requests sent from people asking what it looks like when a computer is compromised by one of these very limited targeted attacks that involves any of the recent Microsoft Word zero-day vulnerabilities. He explains that a targeted attack begins with an incoming email that has a .doc file attached. The email sender looks legitimate and the document name is selected to appeal to the recipient. For example, if the targeted user is an accountant, then the document would look like a tax certificate or an invoice. Florio questions what exactly happens when someone opens the malicious Microsoft Word file. For the answer, he links to an interesting video of a machine being compromised by the latest unpatched zero-day vulnerability relating to Microsoft Word 2000. During the attack, smart users might notice a kind of flickering of Microsoft Word. This is because the malicious code has to terminate and then re-execute the Microsoft Word application with a new clean .doc file. But this flickering happens very quickly and is more clearly demonstrated on the video. The video entitled Compromise from a Word Zero Day can be found at www.youtube.com. Greg Ahmad writes a two-part blog about the sudden rise in ActiveX vulnerabilities. Ahmad notes that there's been a rise in a number of numerous security trends, such as attacks against social networks and a dramatic increase in the number of vulnerabilities affecting web applications. But one issue that hasn't garnered much attention is a significant increase in the vulnerabilities that affect ActiveX controls. ActiveX controls are not strictly part of the browser, but are instead a functionality that can be used by a browser. Vulnerabilities affecting ActiveX can facilitate an assortment of attacks that may cause the disclosure of sensitive information to an attacker or, in a worst-case scenario, allow an attacker to execute code to gain unauthorized access to an affected computer. Ahmad stresses that it is imperative that users have a basic familiarity with the technology behind ActiveX in order to take some precautions to protect themselves against potential attacks. In part 2 of his blog, he discussed the technology behind ActiveX and various steps that may be taken to prevent attacks. Some precautions users can take include ensuring that the security settings of their client browsers do not allow for a scripting of ActiveX controls that are not marked safe for scripting. The browser should prompt for ActiveX controls and deny downloading unsigned ActiveX controls. As a general precaution, users should avoid following links to unknown or untrusted sites and run client applications such as web browsers with the minimal amount of privileges required for functionality. In addition, active scripting should be disabled to prevent the execution of script code and active content in the browser. In his blog entitled When PDFs Attack, Han Lau writes about a significant problem relating to Adobe Acrobat files and cross-site scripting. In his blog entitled When PDFs Attack, Han Lau writes about a significant problem relating to Adobe Acrobat files and cross-site scripting. A weakness was discovered in the way that the Adobe Reader browser plugin can be made to execute JavaScript code on the client side. This development is significant for a number of reasons. For example, Lau points out that the ease with which this weakness can be exploited is breathtaking. Use of this feature requires no exploitation of vulnerabilities on the server side. Also, any website that hosts a PDF file can be used to conduct this attack. All the attacker has to do is find out who is hosting a PDF file on a web server and then piggyback on it to mount an attack. And finally, due to the power and flexibility of JavaScript, the attacker has a wide scope for inflicting damage. Lau gave updates on this issue, including advice on how to mitigate the problem. One way is by upgrading to Adobe Reader 8. Alternatively, you can implement a workaround in your browser so that it does not use the Adobe Reader plugin. That concludes our Security Response podcast for today. For the complete text of this month's blog postings, point your browser to www.symantec.com/enterprise/security_response/weblog. Thank you for downloading and listening to the Security Response podcast brought to you by Symantec, the global leader in information integrity, providing software, appliances, and services to help individuals and enterprises secure and manage their most important asset, their information. For more information about this subject, related products, or additional podcasts, make sure to visit www.symantec.com.